Hello, and welcome to The Backstory. My name's Tim Waters, and as a volunteer for Longmont Public Media, I have the good fortune of hosting The Backstory, which is my opportunity and your opportunity to learn more about what's going on in Longmont. Every one of these programs, we feature something that's unique, unusual, relevant, interesting, and tonight we have a program that's all of those. Unique, relevant, interesting, timely, especially with the opening of school. I'm joined for this program by a panel of experts on the topic we're going to address, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But let me introduce Ben Samuels. Now, folks, I'm looking at that camera. You can look at these cameras right here or one another. This is Ben Samuels, who is the marketing coordinator for College Invest, and we're going to unpack what College Invest means. Josh Atherton, who is the executive director of the St. Vrain Education Foundation. Jenny Diaz-Leon, who is a program specialist for the city of Longmont and is a star in a number of areas, but we're going to focus only on part of that tonight. And Dr. Don Haddad, who is the superintendent of the St. Vrain Valley School District. And I don't get a chance very often to interview Don, other than over lunch sometimes. Yeah. So it's a pleasure to welcome you all this evening. And let me just say from the top, how much I appreciate your dedicating part of your Monday evening. More importantly, how much I appreciate and others do what you do with your daytime, right? The contributions you make to this community, which are just extraordinary. Now, for the rest of the evening, I don't know if I referred to you as doctor, I should have. But from now on, it's going to be Ben, Josh, Jenny, and Don, okay, for the rest of this program. What we're talking about tonight is Longmont's 529 JUMP program. There aren't many municipalities and school districts in the United States that have the kind of dynamic or relationship going on that allows something like this to happen. But it's a pretty interesting program, and one that every parent, every grandparent, every aunt, every uncle, every brother, every sister who cares about the future of the children in this community would want to be paying attention to. So we're going to just jump right into the content. Josh, as the director of the Education Foundation, the foundation's right square in the middle of this effort. Talk a little bit, get us started at least, on what the 529 program is and how did the foundation get into this?
Well, first, thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it. It's a great opportunity. And I think, you know, what we try to do is when you look at the 529 JUMP program, it's a community effort to really bring awareness to what a 529 post-secondary education savings plan is. That's a long term there, but it's an effort by community members such as yourself, myself, former council member Bonnie Finley, among others, community members, civic leaders, to bring this awareness to what a 520 college savings plan is. And I say college, I'm going to catch myself, it's actually post-secondary, because I think what's great about these 529 plans is they're for trade schools as well. And I think it's the idea that as we all are going on, that post-secondary is becoming more and more expensive. And so parents, especially young parents, need different ways to provide that education for their children. And how we got involved, Bonnie Finley, who at the time was, a couple of years ago, was with City Council, City of Longmont Council. If you know Bonnie, you know when she asks, you have to say yes. And she had this idea as a member of City Council that it should be a community effort to support our children for post-secondary education. And I remember distinctly, she sat down with me, she said, the district is doing so much, St. Vrain Valley Schools is doing so much right now when it comes to introducing associate degrees, two-year degrees for students while they're working on their high school degree. We as a community do more to try to get ahead of that and to try to provide ways where young children can have opportunities to pay for post-secondary education. And so she got me, among others, as a committee together to start looking at this. And over time, the committee came up with 529 JUMP. And we've started with a small volunteer committee made up, like I said, civic and business leaders, and to try to figure out how do we bring that awareness to our families in St. Vrain Valley Schools.
So there is awareness, and then there's money.
Yes.
Is there money behind the awareness?
There is, yes. City Council 2 years ago approved initial seed money of $25,000, which was a big commitment by City Council using City Council contingency funds. And the reason why they did that was rather than just put it on the community, they want to be a part of the solution, right? Mm-hmm. Anyone could look at a problem, but when you're part of the solution, that's when you start seeing action take hold. And And since then, City Council has approved an additional over $250,000 for this plan over the next couple of years. Right now, San Fernando Valley Schools has about just over 2,000 kindergartners, and this is for kindergartner families to open up these 529 plans. $50 to any San Fernando kindergarten family who wants to open up one of these 529 plans.
So I don't know if Bonnie's watching. If you are, we miss you tonight. But she is with her grandkids, so she's got priority straight. But the 529, so Ben, I'm going to turn you, where did the numbers 529, where does that come from? What does 529 mean?
So 529 is actually a part of the federal tax code. So that's what it's referring to. And that's because these 529 accounts were created in Congress about 25, 30 years ago with the intention of helping parents in the face of rising education costs and student loan debt to confront that and giving them a tool that would be able to help them to save for higher education, right? And a big part of that is these tax advantages that 529 accounts provide. So, you know, in practice, what that means is when somebody saves with a 529 account, anything that they're putting into it grows tax-free as long as that money is used for some type of higher education expense. And on top of that, as Colorado residents, we are able to take a tax deduction on anything that we save in one of these 529 accounts on our yearly tax return. So it's a really great benefit.
Mom, dad, grandparent, any neighbor, anybody can open a 529 account in the name of a child, right? And then the city makes a $50 donation if he or she is a kindergartner in the school district.
Right.
You've referred to this as a savings account, but that's actually an investment, right?
You're right. No, I mean, that's good of you to clarify on that, and thank you for pointing that out. So we offer, you know, several different types of accounts. So there are savings types of options. There's actually one called Smart Choice that we offer in a collaboration with First Bank, and it's CDs and money market accounts up through more investment style accounts that are personalized portfolios where people can choose the type of investment that they want from a group of funds, or age-based accounts where professional advisors choose the funds for you and adjust them as the child moves towards college age or higher education age.
So a $50 donation from the city in one of those accounts that would be an aggressive kind of account. And I know when somebody looks at the screen, they have various options, and you're not an investment advisor, I get that, and I'm not going to put you on the spot. But depending on where they put that money and what happens in financial markets,
right,
that $50 could grow into, if there was never another dollar put into it, what could $50 grow into by the time a kindergartner gets ready to graduate from high school?
Well, you're putting me on the spot a little bit. Leaving $50 and never touching it again, I'm not sure I could tell you that, but I'll give you this example. How about this? What if somebody put $50 per month, every month for, let's say they have a, I don't know, 8-year-old child, and they leave that money in that account, or they put $50 into that account every month for 10 years. At an average rate of return of around 6%, which we could say, you know, be, you know, not too aggressive, but not too conservative, you might see a return along the lines of $10,000, $12,000. So, you know, that's a good amount of money that you can put towards educational expenses.
And you mentioned higher education, but it's any expense, huh? After
right.
Well, and it's education or life preparation.
I'll second what Josh was really emphasizing. First of all, talking about the fact that this is not just for college, right? This is for really any type of post-secondary education. So we're talking college and university degrees, community college, vocational technical trade school, associate degrees, 2-year degrees. Recently, apprenticeships were approved, so many types of apprenticeships. So there's a lot of flexibility in that sense. And then when we're talking about the types of expenses, it's not just, you know, tuition. It could be obviously tuition fees, but housing associated with that course of study, food plans, anything like that. software, any equipment that's necessary, book software, Wi-Fi, printers. So there's quite a
range.
Number of expenses.
I recall someone in the last couple of years, as we've talked about this, identifying a friend or a neighbor or a niece or a nephew who wanted to be on the ski patrol and was able to use this to get the training to qualify for ski patrol.
Right. I mean, there's, it's almost unlimited possibilities. And another thing I would add is, you know, sometimes people wonder, well, this is the Colorado 529, state-sponsored 529 plan. Can we only use the money within Colorado? And no, you can use it anywhere in the country. So, I mean, there's just a multitude of possibilities with
this. So, College Invest, is College Invest a hedge fund? Are you brokers? Tell us about College Invest. What is College Invest? What's in it for College Invest?
That's a great question. So College Invest is actually a nonprofit agency that reports into the Colorado Department of Higher Education. So we are part of the state government. And what we do is we administer these 529 plans or savings and investment accounts and work with financial institutions who we partner with to actually implement them. And, you know, I mean, what's in it for us, like when we're talking about this 529 jump program, it really aligns with our mission, because at the end of the day, what we want is to provide Coloradans with, you know, an easy way and opportunities to achieve their educational goals. And hopefully, I mean, especially, you know, supporting what the 529 jump program is doing in its effort to get parents and caregivers saving early on, right? Because ideally, by saving early when the children are younger and having that long-term horizon to hopefully have those funds grow, or even if you're saving little by little, it can really have a big impact. We can, you know, lessen the burden of student debt that we know is, I mean, it's always a national topic. It's always in the news. So
whoever contributes to a 529 program, they get the tax deduction in the year in which they make that donation. That money then grows tax-free for until it's withdrawn post-secondary.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So how much of that money goes to paying for country club dues and, you know, big salaries for College Invest execs?
No, I mean, as a nonprofit, I mean, obviously this is just paying for our.
That's an important part. It's important for people to know. The reason I asked the question is I want people to know. That this is really focused on returns for parents and their children at a critical time, both as 5-year-olds in kindergarten and as they matriculate through the system and graduate high school. We're going to come back to why this matters, what differences might make as we get into the conversation. Jenny,
yes.
You, in your work with the city, you work with a range of families and kids from all parts of the community. And I'm going to ask you a question later, not just yet, about what your advice to parents would be. But talk a little bit about what you think this might mean to the kids you work with, and then fold into that, what would it have meant for you as a 5-year-old in a kindergarten, and somebody says, we have confidence in you that you're going to finish high school, and we're going to make an investment in you as a 5-year-old. What would that have meant?
I think this program just creates opportunity for people. And I really appreciate what you've been saying about this is post-secondary, right? So as a 5-year-old, you don't know what your options are going to be. And as a parent, you can dream of what the options can be for your youth. But really what this means is you're opening doors of opportunity. So you're investing in this child to be able to do what they want to do in the future, whether it's going to a trade school to learn how to be a mechanic, whether it's going to a four-year university to get a degree in communications, whether they want to be on the ski patrol, right? And what I think that this would have meant for me is, you know, I'm a first-generation student. My mom was the first one to come to the United States from her family. So this whole experience of college planning kind of hit us in the face when I was in high school. And so if we would have started planning much younger, I think that there would have been more opportunity for us to figure out ways to make this feasible. We would have been able to be prepared in a different way. And it would have changed my trajectory in a lot of different ways. I wouldn't have to struggle or feel like I was financially responsible for that piece. And in the same way, my mom. My mom, pretty much in my household, it was a single parent income. And my mom oftentimes worked two or three jobs to be able to make sure that we had what we needed. And so if even, you know, sometimes we're not able to add $50 into account or $100 into account every month, but even if you're adding $20 or when it's your birthday, you're taking half of the birthday money and putting that away in the account, whatever money you're putting in there is gonna grow. And if it's some money that you use to pay for books, you don't have to worry about the books later on, right? But I really want people to think about how many doors of opportunities this would open for your youth. They will be able to feel a security that I didn't have when I was going through this experience. So I really recommend people do that.
I know this is just, we're just imagining, but if somebody had opened that account for you as a 5-year-old, would it have made a difference?
It would have made a difference, because I know that a big piece, and actually for me at the time of growing up here, and something I didn't mention before is that I'm actually a product of the San Fernando Valley School District community. I grew up here. I went to Northridge Elementary. I went to Longs Peak Middle School and graduated from Longmont High School in 2008. Yes.
One of our great graduates right here on this.
Yes. And so for me, I know that a big piece of going to college, it was always an expectation for me. My mom always said it. But we were never really quite sure of how we were going to pay for it. And that was terrifying, because I know the other piece for me was that I felt like I had to know exactly what I was going to do when I was going to school, because otherwise I would be wasting money. And it kind of limited me a little bit to be able to dream of what other or explore different opportunities. I ended up doing that later on. But I know that that would have given me a different security to be able to explore what it was that was actually a passion for me. I ended up still being in my dream job, which is exciting. But I know that that would have caused a lot of, it would have taken away a lot of stress from my family and from myself during that already very big transitional time. So it would have definitely changed a lot of my story.
Moms and dads, listen to this. To get started early, right, and to plant those seeds early in your 5-year-old,
yes,
about what's possible. Don, we don't get this opportunity often, so it's a pleasure to welcome you. This isn't a school district program, right? We don't want to hang this on you as one more thing to manage or administer, but you're supportive. So why would the school district get behind something like this? What does it mean in terms of the school district's efforts? And then I want you to talk about, where does this fit into, you got a lot of other stuff that you do for kids, right? So it's not just this, but talk about this one and then expand that to the variety of things that the San Fernando Valley School District does that results in a great graduation rate.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And, you know, first I want to start out by thanking you and the City Council for making this investment, because, you know, I realize $295,000.
Yeah, that's what we've authorized. Or what the council's authorized.
What the council's authorized. That's a pretty significant investment. And it's open to all children.
Everyone. Every child. We should have said that earlier.
Yeah.
Regardless of income, regardless of municipality, if they're a Save Rain Valley kindergartner, the city's willing to make that investment.
Yeah, and I think that that's really significant when you think about $50 for any child, a total of close to $300,000. So from a monetary perspective, it's significant. There's also the sense of confidence that you bring to a child and to their family. When a community comes together, the school system, the business community, elected officials, civic organizations, you come together and you make a statement that public education matters, and that post-secondary education beyond the pre-K through 12 experience matters. That's a powerful statement. It's something that when communities do that, it elevates the expectations. And when the expectation is elevated, our children rise to that expectation. So they feel an entire community wrapping their arms around them saying, we're behind you. So you've got the monetary benefit, you've got the motivation piece that's there. And when you think about an investment in somebody's post-secondary experiences, our economy is dependent in large part on how well students do, not only in pre-K through 12, but beyond. When you think about our healthcare systems, when you think about the amount of money that is earned by a student who is prepared for and pursues post-secondary versus one who's not. It's significant for that individual. It's also significant for a community, a state, a nation, and beyond. So I think the impact is much more global than people might realize. And yes, that individual child's life is being impacted in a significant way, and yes, our community. And so I would support it even if I weren't the superintendent, but being the superintendent and having that close-up view of really how much this makes a difference, I think it's really pretty impressive what you've done, and very grateful to that. You know, in our school system, we have what we call a pre-K through 14 system, and the grades 13 and 14 represent that post-secondary. And we look at the ways in which our students can pursue that in addition to the 529 program. Our advanced placement courses, you can earn college credit, and we were recently recognized by the College Board for one of about 360 school districts out of the 14,000 as Honor Roll School of Distinction for the number of students and the diversity of our student population taking advanced placement courses and earning college credit. We also have the International Baccalaureate Program that earns our students college credit. We have the Concurrent Enrollment Program where our students can take classes at the college and university level and we will reimburse them for those courses. And then recently, over the last 6 or 7 years, we've implemented PTEC, which is Pathways Through Technology. It's a 2-year associate degree program, and it comes at no cost to the student. And we have 3 of them now, one in computer information systems, one in the medical and biosciences area, and our newest one in cybersecurity. And so our students are graduating with an associate degree at the same time they're earning their high school diploma. I think this last year, at the Front Range commencement ceremony, we had 40 students, but those numbers are growing every year. And so we provide all of those opportunities for our students. And then, you know, the other things that really drive student success are music programs, our athletic programs, all of the co-curricular. But I will come back to this program in particular. It is a strong message, a vote of confidence, an inspirational gesture, and a financial gesture that starts our children off on the right track. And we couldn't be more grateful to you for it.
Well,
yeah, and we need to continue to find ways to let people know about this opportunity because it's pretty special.
So, moms and dads, pay attention to this. We the city would like to see a greater the foundation and the school district take rate, right? The city's authorized funding, and what we want to do is make certain that moms and dads are taking advantages for all the reasons that that Don just described. It's one thing, Josh, to have a good idea, right? 529 and College Invest having that capacity. One thing to have a good idea. It isn't always simple to turn a good idea into action. Mm-hmm. So what's it take from the Education Foundation's perspective? What's it required to turn the idea into something that's actionable? And then how would people take advantage of it?
Well, it's a great question. We're a volunteer-run organization, right? In the meaning that we've got a board that are volunteers, and it has to be through that volunteer part of things. And when Bonnie came up with this idea with other city council members, it was her creation to make sure that volunteers had input for this, that we had people from the businesses, civic leaders, community leaders, like Don had mentioned. And the foundation's role is more fiduciary. We're providing a way for people to, and I know we're going to talk more about this, but to, if they want to donate money, they can do that through the foundation, and that money will make its way to the fund. And it's also providing a little bit of structure too, you know, how to run meetings and to be there as support and liaison. I'm a member of the committee, and so I provide support to Bonnie and to you and others just to make sure that we have what we need. But at the end of the day, it's based on our volunteers and getting the word out to our community. And I think that's really critical. It's the foundation is overseeing the funds, but it's not necessarily a foundation program. In essence, it's a volunteer idea ran by volunteers.
You just make it happen.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
Yep.
So how difficult is it to actually open an account? And I don't know if that's your question or Ben's question, but if there's somebody watching this saying, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
Where do I start? Do I pick up the phone? If somebody's not comfortable with the internet, then, you know, getting access online. What would be the first and second steps for parents or relatives that's not a parent who wanted to open an account.
I'll let Ben talk about how you open an account, but what we do is once that account is opened, then they go to our website at 529jump.org or to the SaveFrameFoundation.org website, and they can go there and just fill out a very short questionnaire. It's, you know, student's name, first and last, and parent's name, and then what school they go to, and then what account number, what account that they have and the number that's associated with that. And as soon as we get that information, then we will connect with College Invest, and we'll make sure once a month we send a check over to College Invest, and then College Invest makes sure that money makes it into those accounts. And I also want to point out too that, you know, we're really encouraging folks to open up accounts. But if there's a kindergarten family right now watching this, mom or dad or grandparent, whoever, and they've already, they just opened up a 529 account maybe a year ago when they were in preschool, that's okay. We're trying to limit the restrictions on this, because the more restrictions and barriers you put in front of it, the less people are going to do. If you already have one open, go to our website, fill out the account information, and we'll make sure the money gets to it.
So you don't have to open a new account.
Nope.
Just take advantage of the offer to get $50 of free money into an existing account.
As long as you're a St. Vrain student and you're a kindergartner. And we're kind of in that gray area right now because it's July. Yeah. So if you haven't gone into August and your son or daughter is about to go into first grade, fill it out now.
Yeah,
and we haven't quite started the school year. And as soon as the school year starts, then we're going to go into that new phase. And so, we're, you know, again, it's just, it's a matter of opening it. But, you know, if a family is in a situation where they can't put money in it on a monthly basis, that's okay. That $50 can sit there, and maybe Jenny mentioned maybe it's half the birthday money or something else, or grandparent, neighbor. That's totally fine too. It shouldn't be limited to folks who have money or from higher class. It should be open to anyone who wants to participate.
And there's no minimum donation on a monthly basis. That $50 can sit there until you know, somebody else comes along and makes a donation sometime later.
Yep.
All right. You'd like to create a discipline of getting a little bit in there on a regular basis, because it does add up. Ben, talk about the mechanics of creating the account. How difficult, how confusing, how simple?
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, really the only requirement for somebody to be open, to be able to open an account, is you have to be 18 years or older. You do have to have a social security number or a TIN number.
And a TIN number. What is a TIN number?
A tax identification number, and have a permanent address here in Colorado or in the U.S. And then, right, like talking about, you know, if you're comfortable going online, you can go to our website, collegeinvest.org. There's a lot of really good information that explains the ins and outs of all of this there. And you can go through it, review it, and then enroll directly online, and it should only really take a few minutes. It's not asking for a whole lot of information beyond, you know, who you are, that identification number, your address, who the beneficiary is. Or, you know, if you're not comfortable going online, you can call us up, you can call College Invest, you can request that we mail you the application, and you can fill it out and mail it back to us or fax it to us or whatever works. So it's pretty straightforward all in all.
It's not insignificant that a parent doesn't have to have a social security number. They need a tax identification number, which means all parents, whether you're documented or not, nobody's excluded from this, right? You don't have to have certain credentials in order to participate. Fair, true.
I would say it's fair. Ideally, right, we would be able to offer this to anybody who resides in Colorado, right? But there's just laws that we cannot get around in terms of investments. But
is it fair, Josh, to ask you about Elevation Credit
Union?
Because the credit union is taking some steps to help make this easy.
Yep.
Talk about that.
Yeah, Elevations Credit Union is a significant partner, not only of us, but also the school district. They love teachers. They support teachers. They sponsor a lot of things that we do. And Elevations has committed to opening up any account for anyone. And usually when you open a bank account, you're required to put a minimal amount, whatever the amount is, into that account. They waive that. And in some cases, they'll actually deposit more money in there. They'll put $50 in there. I think a lot of those offers just depend on what time of the year it is. But they also have Spanish-speaking folks at the Elevations Credit Union that can help out, too, if a family doesn't speak English. And we really appreciate that because that's how you go through the process. And a lot of times that's what's scary for a lot of families, especially maybe some undocumented families, is just getting past that initial phase. And I'm really proud of Elevations that they've really stepped up and offered that for us.
And what are the possibilities that we have the school year's about to start. People can go online, they can call and ask for an application. We were chatting a little bit earlier about what else can we do as a community to reach out to parents to make it easy. It's only going to happen through the schools. I mean, but to do it without adding a burden, right, to principals and teachers in the schools. What's possible this fall that parents might be looking for as opportunities to learn more about this and get some technical assistance to get signed up?
I would encourage folks to go to our website, 529 Jump. We actually built a new website almost because of this. Our website 2 years ago was only in English. We revamped our entire website so that there's Google Translate that's a part of that. So they can go in there, they can turn it, just translates the entire website so that people know what's going on. And there's videos on there that I've linked on there, some resources. But I would also say go to College Invest website as well, because they've got some great resources for folks to know about it. I think probably the biggest issue is that you hear that 529 and you associate that with tax documents, and it scares most people. Yeah. It scares me. But I didn't believe College Invest at first when I heard about, oh, it's easy, right? Anytime you deal with tax documents, it's not easy. We actually opened up an account for one of our children, and we got done in less than 10 minutes. It was very easy, very, very straightforward. I'm not a financial advisor. I don't watch stocks on a daily basis. And it's great because it's there. We know it's there. And, you know, if one of our children decides not to go to college and they want to do something else, then it can be transferred to one of our other children. It actually can be used for your own student debt, too. If you have debt yourself, it can be used for that as well. So there's a lot of flexibility, has been said, when it comes to 529 accounts.
Well, actually, I need to correct you on the student debt aspect of it. You actually can't. In Colorado, in some other states, you can use the 529 funds for student debt, but yep. In Colorado, for the time being, we can't.
And that's what's confused about 529, because there are differences between states,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, the jump part of this is $50 is to Jumpstart. Is that where we get the
jump? Yeah, Jumpstart, the savings for post-secondary education.
Any of you familiar with any other municipalities kind of in partnership with an education foundation in support of the school district and their kids doing anything like this?
I'm not familiar with any other localities doing a similar program. I mean, I do want to take the opportunity. I don't want to fail to mention that College Invest has some special programs that are in the vein of the 529 Jump program that, you know, if somebody was taking advantage of this program, they could gain further financial help and incentives through College Invest. So we have one program called First Step, and the way that it works is any child born or adopted in Colorado on or after January 1st of 2020 can receive $100 into a College Invest account. If it's already open or when their parent or guardian opens one. And then there's another program called our matching grant program, where depending on eligibility criteria, we will match whatever somebody saves in a 529 account dollar for dollar up to $1,000 per year and potentially for 5 years. So,
Wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, we have a lot of, you know, grants and financial incentives that we want to give to Colorado families to encourage them to save, and especially early.
College Invest would match up to $5,000, $1,000 over 5 years.
Potentially.
Based on criteria.
Based on criteria and eligibility, exactly.
Powerful.
I was going to say, the only one I'm aware of, St. Paul, Minnesota, they're doing something similar where they provide $50 to their residents. But, you know, St. Paul's pretty big city,
yeah.
And I don't think there's any other city like Longmont, about 100,000 people, that's doing stuff like this. But also, you know, being there in support of the school district and our students. And like I said, when Bonnie said that earlier, that, you know, our school district is moving at lightning speed and they're trying to do everything for our students. We as a community need to be there in step, as much as in step as we can, to do this. And I think, like Don mentioned too, I thank you for city council support on this. It's great.
Is there any data that we're aware on the effects of or relationships between 529 accounts or other college savings accounts and high school graduation or other outcomes of schooling?
Yeah, well, I know there's, for college investors, you know, several studies out there that have looked at, you know, the relationship between assets and going to college, right, and how that affects that. And like I said, there's multiple studies that have come to the same conclusion, the same result, that regardless of socioeconomic background, any child who has savings that have been put aside and dedicated to higher education, and that they're aware of that, and you know, maybe there's that expectation, right, they're something like 5 to 7 times more likely to actually pursue higher education. So,
well, that's what data I'm aware of is right there, right? The kids at the time they transition from elementary to middle school, I think the study I saw, are 6 times more likely.
Oh, okay.
To self-identify as graduating from high school and continuing their education.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how much money's in the account.
Exactly.
Other variables, it's a correlational, it's not causal, but that's a powerful finding, right? That kind of investment, small investment in a five-year-old, could have that kind of effect on their vision for themselves, right, going forward. There are lots of ways, right, that people could invest in their kids. This is one. You mentioned that the College Invest will donate $100 based on a decision made by the state legislature. Do parents have to wait for their child to be a kindergartner to receive that?
No. So, I mean, when we're talking about the First Step program, which is the $100, you should go to College Invest website now or call us, and if they would fall into that eligibility period.
So a child born after January 1st, 2020.
Yes.
Parents could open that account today. They would be 2-year-olds, 2.5-year-olds.
Exactly.
And then we could add $50 when they get to be kindergartners. They could start it with $100.
Exactly.
We could add $50. Now that $150 becomes real money by the time they graduate.
That's true. Yeah.
Josh, you talked about other ways. It's not just parents opening an account. What are the other ways that the community can support this? You mentioned people donating to the foundation. What else is possible?
Yeah, I mean, people can go to our website, like I mentioned, 529jump.org, and they can donate. You know, we're always looking to increase that fund. The city council has approved $295,000, like Don had mentioned, but we're really trying to expand this beyond just the city of Longmont. And, you know, our district is vast and big, and there's a lot of different folks in our community, and so anyone that support it, we're on. And if you want to be on the committee, just let us know, contact us at the foundation. And I think this is going to be kind of the future of really saving for post-secondary education. It can't be, the burden cannot be on students full-time when they get out of college. Jenny had mentioned that she's a first-time college graduate. I am too, and I'm a product of St. Clair Valley Schools as well. And this would have been huge. I was raised by a single mother as well with my two brothers. And when I got to college, it was loan. Mom's going to help with some food, maybe a little bit of covering the rent. And I went to college 20 years ago when it was much cheaper. Mm-hmm. I look at students now who are looking at, you know, six-figure debt just to go to college. That's a big burden. And when you are looking at someone who wants to become a teacher and they're going to have $80,000 or $90,000 or $100,000 of debt to become a teacher, a lot of people are looking elsewhere in other careers that make more money. And so we want to be part of the solution.
And if other municipalities, I mean, this is really the Longmont City Council's commitment. If other municipalities within the St. Clair Valley School District decided that they also wanted to make a comparable investment in their five-year-olds, who would they contact and how do they do that?
They can go to our website at 529JUMP, and Bonnie's information is on there, my information on there. We can connect folks to how we do it. And we were really planning on doing more of this about 2 years ago, and we had something happen in the form of COVID, and a lot of cities and towns had to look elsewhere and figure out things. And I think, you know, hopefully we're getting through that, and we're getting back to really focusing on this. So if folks want to support this, just let us know, and we can connect them to the powers that be.
That's great. I've learned something in this conversation. I knew about the First Step program, but I thought parents had to wait until their kids were in kindergarten in 2025 so that they could get that start early. And we could simply enhance that when they.
Yeah, no, I'm glad we were able to clarify that, because it makes a big difference.
Yeah. Well, and if there are any municipalities that happen to watch this, city council members or others, and you'd like to kick in, I'm certain the school district and the foundation It's not going to slow us down, slow the city of Longmont down. All right, as we're about to start the school year, you may have said everything you want to say about all the stuff that's going on, but I want to give you one more opportunity to talk about reasons that you're proud, reasons we all ought to be proud. You mentioned a bunch of them earlier, or your state of the school, district shtick here before we wrap this up. What else should we know from you about what's coming in the school year and the things we should be excited about?
Hey, you know, I think most people know, but just as a recap, St. Vrain is currently the seventh largest school district out of 178 school districts. When I started as superintendent, we were the 10th largest. And not too far down the road, we're going to be the sixth and the fifth. And ultimately, we've got 33,000 students now. Our build-out plan is for about 75,000 students. So within the 411 square miles, we're growing. We're up to 60 schools now. And that growth is probably going to translate into a bond initiative in 2024, because we're going to have to build more schools and continue that growth. And that's not for the operations side, that's for the construction side of new schools. But I'm really proud of our students and our teachers and our staff and our community. It's always challenging, but the last couple of years for our teachers and our students and our parents and our community at large has been challenging with COVID, but they really came through it in an incredible way, and some of the data supports that. You know, our graduation rate is nearing 92% now, and that's a 4-year on-time graduation rate, and our dropout rate is now at 0.6. So 99.4% of our students are going to finish, whether it's in 4 years, 4.5 years. And when we started a lot of the work around early childhood and so on, our graduation rate was at 75%, and we had fewer requirements. So right now we have among the highest requirements in the state and the region, and we have one of the highest graduation rates, but it's gone up even though we've increased the requirements. So I'm very excited about that and proud of our students. And it's not just the academic side. You know, our music programs were identified as one of the top 15% of all music programs in the country, and our athletic teams have won more state championships than other districts throughout the entire state of Colorado for 2 years in a row. And you're looking at individual and team state championships from a percentage standpoint. So our students are really excelling, and I think they gave us a lesson in resilience, because while so many other institutions were standing down, public education was standing up. Our teachers were showing up, our children were showing up, even though everyone around them were closing their doors, our doors were open. And you know, you have 90% of the children in America, K through 12, are enrolled in a public school. And so the future of our country is dependent on how well our public schools are doing. Our community has rallied in the form of passing mill levy overrides and bonds to support our children. And our children have responded, and our teachers and our staff have responded. So, you know, I couldn't be more proud of them. And after 38 years of doing this, I'm going into my 15th year as a superintendent, and they just never cease to amaze you. They never cease to amaze you. And this conversation right here around kindergarten, you know, we're starting our children in that preschool for all of our kids in full day kindergarten and taking them all the way through post-secondary. And it's a heavy lift, but it's a lift that our entire community is engaged with. So,
As you mentioned early in your comments about growth, is that true of all the school districts in the Front Range?
No, actually, thank you for that question, because the opposite is true. We are seeing a massive decline in enrollment out of the metro area school districts other than St. Vrain, and not just by a few kids, but by thousands of kids. And one of the things that really, when people say why, well, there's a little bit of growth area, but all the communities have growth areas, but they're not seeing the students return from COVID. You know, we maintained about a 98 to 99% participation rate throughout COVID because of our teachers connecting with our children. And so we never lost sight of them, they never lost sight of us, and so when it was time to come back in full swing, they were here. And that wasn't the case in a lot of other school systems. So no, they're not growing anywhere near as fast as we're growing. In fact, they're shrinking faster than we're growing.
Yeah, I think that's a factoid that is pretty remarkable, and I think it's something that the community ought to know, and another reason to be proud. That I know this community has supported the school district has stepped up when the times, when they've had the opportunities and been asked with mill levies or bond issues. But that's well earned. That doesn't happen if they don't have confidence in the leadership and in the performance of the school district. So good on you. It's good on the community for stepping up, but it's well earned.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, the last thing that I will share is this concept of the school year. You know, we extended our school year for K through 8 all the way through the month of June for kids that wanted to do that. We have thousands of students who are taking advantage of that. And jumpstart programs, right now our kids are back in school doing math and language arts for 2 weeks before the school year starts. So we've really closed that summer slide, so to speak.
Where that digression and occurs? That
with the notion that kids don't want to be, it's not true. They are flocking into the opportunities for math and language arts and robotics and science and all of the things. They love their schools, and we're glad to see it.
All right. I'm gonna ask you to clean it up. Be our cleanup hitter. But I just want to make one personal observation before we do that. I've shared this with Don before, and I shared it with the school board. My wife and I are mother and father-in-law of a brilliant teacher who started her career in the St. Bernard Valley School District. She spent 19 years at Fall River Elementary. And I won't brag on her, I just know how good she is, because I've got my own time in this business, and I know good teachers and teaching when I see it. But for reasons that had to do with family and location and proximity to their residence, she left the St. Bernard Valley School District to take a job in another school district, which will remain unnamed at this point, because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But the difference in her experience as a classroom teacher in the school district she's in now compared to what her experience was in the St. Bernard Valley School District is substantial and discouraging from her standpoint. Where this school district has committed its resources to teachers, resourcing teachers in classrooms around the needs of students, is a night and day difference from what she experienced here to what she experiences now, with far less support. With far less confidence that in the schools, right, than what she experienced here. Teachers in a very different role where she is now compared to what she experienced here. So for anybody who watches this, if you really want to understand some of the differences and what makes those differences, it's the priorities that this school district has placed on teachers and teaching and learning. So as a former educator, as a member of the community, I appreciate it.
Former super.
Well, it has been. Jenny, you are a cleanup hitter. What's the message to parents and the kids? What should they hear from the one who's closest to this experience, the youngest at this table, I think maybe. but you're in the field every day working with these kids and their moms and dads.
So the message that I'd like to leave parents with is take a risk for your youth. Take a risk for your child. I know that sometimes when you're dealing with forms or processes like this, it could be very scary. But know that there's people here to support you through that. You're not alone. We believe in your children just as much as you do, and we want to see them succeed. And we're rooting for them, whatever path they decide to take. But by starting this, again, I want to reiterate, you are opening doors of opportunity for them. You are opening an opportunity for them to have something to fall back on, money that they can use in the future in whatever way they need for their education. I know that one of the things that I even worried about was how am I going to get a computer to go to college, and I need that, right? Or I'm going to be bouncing back and forth between different computer labs. So there's different opportunities for use of this money, but more than anything, it's the opportunity. And what I think is most important is starting the conversation. If you're starting these conversations when your child is in kindergarten and asking them, what do you want to be? And even starting with questions like, well, what do you think you have to do to get there? Right? Because we can dream of what we want to be, but we also have to start thinking of, like, what do we need to do to be able to get to those dreams? And so if you're starting those conversations at a young age, those are only going to become so normal to your youth and your children that's already going to be a vision for them when they're growing up. They're already going to know, like, yeah, I want to do this, and these are the steps to get there. It's going to become more attainable. It's not just a dream. It's a goal. It's something that we're working on from that very young age to when they actually graduate high school and move on to that next stage. So I really encourage you all to reach out to, whether it's the foundation, you can also reach out to the youth center, especially if there's Spanish-speaking families that you want to get involved. We are more than happy to help you through that process, and we look forward to working with you all. This is something that, as you can tell, we're all very passionate about, and we would love to get more people involved.
Amen.
So we need to have you come and speak.
I know. I'm inspired.
So we're going to wrap this up. I just want to, one more time, thank you for your time here in this program. And again, for what you do with your daytimes. This is just a little blip. The serious work gets done day in and day out, and we're all very grateful for that. Longmonters, that's the backstory on the 529 program. Next month, last Monday of the month of August, we're going to be right back here in the Longmont Public Media Studios. The topic is going to be housing in Longmont. Longmont City Manager Harold Dominguez, Eric Wallace, who is one of the founders and the CEO of Left Hand Brewing, but more importantly for this conversation, is the chair of Prosper Longmont, which is a group of high-profile volunteers who have stepped up to lean into the issues of housing, to work with the city to find solutions in ways that reduce housing insecurity and provide way more opportunities for those who work in Longmont to live in Longmont. So if you care about housing, you have questions, concerns, suggestions, 6 o'clock, August 29th, Longmont Public Media Studios. We'd love to see you here, and you get a chance to be part of the interview, right? You get a chance to ask questions of the experts. So we'll see you then. Thanks again. That's the backstory on the 529 Jump Program.